Once upon a time, Vicky was trapped by the curse of her thoughts. It had her believing she was powerless, imperfect, and weak. Then one day, the curse started to lessen, and Vicky could see a little clearer. As each day passed, her thoughts improved until she broke free. She then began creating magic in her life. Now, Vicky is getting ready to marry her Prince Charming. This is her manifesting success story. Hello and welcome to this episode. I am your host, Cassie Parks, and I am back with Vicky. And today we are going to have a very special episode all about how to manifest a relationship. So welcome, Vicky.
Thank you for having me, Cassie.
I'm so excited. So you, we are recording this March 6th, 2023. And tell us what's awesome.
I am planning my wedding, and it is turning out so much easier and more glamorous than I ever gave it credit for being. And I'm in a marvelous relationship, and I'm deepening other relationships, and there's a lot of awesome, actually.
Yay. That's awesome. Highlight, if you missed that, listeners, Vicky's engaged. Yeah. You sort of mentioned it, but like, yeah, not officially meant, like, you know, its own thing, which is awesome. And we're going to talk about that in the next episode. We're going to talk about, you know, manifesting your engagement and all of that fun. And as we go through, they'll probably be together at the end, but we are also going to document Vicky's journey of manifesting her wedding. So mm-hmm. I'm excited about that as well. All right, let's just jump in. So this is the How to Manifest a Relationship episode. So tell us, how did you think about love and relationships when you were a younger kid dreaming?
I had very high expectations of love and relationships as a young person. The majority of books and movies I took in were romances with happy endings. So I mostly formed my ideas of love and marriage around those books and movies. I do not recommend doing that. 10 out of 10 do not recommend. I had, growing up, I had a small fear of men and boys, but I also desperately craved their attention and admiration. I used to work really, really hard to do things that would get boys' attention, and it never worked. That pattern of like trying really hard and it not working, that led me to believe that I was unlovable or undesirable. And that story kind of steamrolled into my adulthood.
And we'll talk about how that changed. But first, it's so interesting because I think this is like, it's this pattern of getting attention because I wanted it. Yet there was this underlying, I'm kind of afraid of men and boys. And mm-hmm. there were some things like,
oh, I didn't hear that.
So yeah, when you have that, you know, I'm have this underlying fear of this mm-hmm. thing, but then I want this thing, but then I don't get it. It never occurs to us to be like, oh, it's like we decide that we're bad or we're wrong. Oh, I didn't get this attention from boys. Not, oh, I wanted this thing, but I was also afraid of that. So that probably created some murky attraction energy, right? I don't think mm-hmm. you were thinking of it in those terms as no. a child, but yeah. that is what happens from a law of attraction yeah. standpoint, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Totally.
What was your view of relationships before you started on this manifesting journey?
That relationships were not something that I was worthy of. Like that if I did have a relationship, I would have to give up so much of myself to feel worth the space I took up, that any relationship would inevitably end up feeling like a trap. Like I wasn't worthy of a good relationship or a good partner.
All right, let's break this down. So relationships in general, you just didn't feel worthy of, right? Did that extend? Was that just with men or romantic partners, or was that?
Yep, with any romantic partner. I just was like, I truly just did not see myself with anybody. I just could not envision myself with anybody. Like, I think when I first started LOA, long time ago, I was probably like 20. I like kind of came up with a thought, but it just felt so like I wrote a list of all the things that my boyfriend would be, like top executive at Apple. Penthouse on the Upper East Side. But like it just all felt so amorphous. Like there was no concrete, like it just felt like that was so far out of reach at all. And the few people I dated, like right before starting LOA, really reflected that. Like my lack of worthiness.
Yeah, absolutely. So if I did have a relationship, I would give up so much of myself to feel worth the space I took up. Mm. Break that down for us and tell listeners, because a lot of listeners might resonate with that. What does that mean?
I felt that because of this pattern I had seen and experienced for so long in my life, that it meant that there was something flawed about me. So I would have to change. I didn't know what, but that I would have to like act different or be different or change things or like start to enjoy other, like things, sports, which is funny because I like sports now, but like start to enjoy things or like pretend that I liked things that I don't like, you know, like giving up bits of yourself here, like throughout the relationship, that I would inevitably feel trapped, which as I'm saying this sounds a lot like my last relationship.
Yeah. So, I mean, eventually, like, you did get in a relationship, but this is what happened, right? You felt trapped mm-hmm. because you gave up who you are. Mm-hmm. Because that was like, because we're talking about worth, and a lot of times we connect also worth, like money is worth something, mm-hmm. right? So like the currency of being like worthy of the relationship became sort of, I have to suck up this thing. I have to do this thing I don't like. I have to do this, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Uh-huh.
Yeah. And so that definitely left you feeling like you weren't worthy of a good relationship or partner, right?
Right. Right. I just felt like I was less than, so then I deserved a less than relationship. And that's not like a conscious thing I thought to myself. I didn't like say those words to myself, but I saw other people in wonderful relationships and I was like, oh, that's not for me. So different now.
Yeah, right? It's such an oh, that's not for me. Like I need to be here in this sort of
like I
not it just fun relationship.
Like, right. Like then it was like it did not resonate with me, that which is funny because that's just directly related to how I viewed myself.
Yeah. Say more about that.
That like because I viewed myself as not worthy of the good things, those good things didn't feel good to me.
Yeah.
Like, you know, they like weren't, if you're talking vibrations, they weren't like on my vibration because I was like at a different spot.
Absolutely. So how has that view of relationships shifted?
Oh my God, look at me now. A full shift. I mean, like, I now own that I'm 100% worthy of a healthy, happy, fun, and loving relationship with an amazing partner. And I have that. And I bask in it every day.
I love it. Well, so how did you create that shift of owning that you're 100% worthy of that?
Honestly, in Enchanted Life You, I literally don't think I would have shifted the way I viewed the way I did things without it. Like truly this program revolutionized who I am and how I think and what I'm creating and my life. And that was like that. If you want to get specific, it's those like step-by-step processes that we go through, and the weekly check-ins on the calls help keep me on track. Like if I get stuck, and like just the lessons you learn through this group, it's just invaluable. Like it just changes the way you think, the way you do things. And at first it seems weird and counterintuitive and you get mad at Cassie sometimes. and then you're like, oh, that's why. This is good. This is great.
Yeah. I love it. Any things like specifically you can think of that shifted to like support this owning your 100% like worthy of a happy, healthy, fun, and loving relationship?
Like you might have a different story, but I'm thinking learning how to be worthy of money was how I learned how to be worthy of a relationship.
I was going to ask, like, if you didn't have an answer, like, let's talk about the connection between being worthy of money and love. So tell us more about that. How does like being worthy of money connect to being worthy of love?
Well, with money, you have a relationship with money. So you learn how to have a relationship with money in Enchanted Life View. And by learning how to have a relationship in one area, you can learn how to directly apply that to another area. So friendships, romantic, money, things, pets, like you just like learn how to be, because you learn that skill. Once you have that skill set, you can apply it to create. Like once you learn a certain brush stroke, you can learn how to paint any kind of painting, really. Like once you have that skill, it's in your body, you can go apply it to any other painting. So that's like directly how I learned how to be worthy of a good relationship.
I love it. Now, for somebody who's like, but money is like an inanimate object. And like your boyfriend, like tell us, like, I get it, but explain how that happens, being in a relationship with money, which is something that isn't human. Like, tell us about how that correlates to being in a relationship with a human or other human.
Well, your relationship with money, it's something you interact with. So you have a relationship with lots of things and you interact with money. So you're showing up in a certain way with money. And so through Enchanted Life View, you learn how to show up with money and how to work with money, just like you would show up with a partner, how you would show up to a first date, how you would show up to your dating app when you first start dating, or how you show up when there's like uncomfortable conversations between you and a partner, or like growth conversations. Learning how to navigate money, like, and learning how to be worthy of more money. Learning how to be worthy of good money is the same thing as being worthy of a good relationship. So being worthy of good. And that's what we learn here, is how to be worthy of good and the goodness and more of the goodness. I don't know if I answered your question.
I think so. I love that. Okay. Do you think obviously it did, because you're telling us like there's a direct correlation between having a relationship with money and being in a relationship, but becoming a better with money, like becoming someone who is good with money, how did that impact like being in a relationship?
Like how did becoming good with money impact relationship?
Yeah, or maybe that didn't. Like, but was there a difference? Because you, like we've talked about it before, your story was survival. It's like, you know, there's money, then it's gone. So basically, like usually there's none. You know, did becoming a person who has money in her bank account like affect your ability to be like a partner?
Yeah, I mean, like now that I'm thinking about it, the survival story, how it played out in my last relationship, it was like things were amazing and then it was gone. And then things were amazing and then it was gone. And that just was a constant cycle in my last relationship. And now within that relationship, I was also actively working on money. So it was like money was ahead and my relationships were kind of keeping up to like how I was learning and growing. So like, I got my money good and figured out, and the relationship figured, like we got there eventually. But I lost my train of thought.
Being someone who's good with money.
Yeah. Oh yeah. So once I learned how to be good with money, I started having more in my bank account. There was less drama happening. So I was dealing with less drama around money. So I was less open to accepting drama in a relationship. Like less available to deal with drama in a relationship because I was not allowing drama in my money relationship. So I was no longer available for drama in my money or in my romantic relationships.
Yeah, that creates a shift, right?
Yeah.
How has the view of yourself in a relationship shifted?
That I am a person worthy of goodness and respect and kindness and love. And that I am worthy of that just because I exist.
Amazing.
And that's something I would have told I told myself in my last relationship. Like I would, it wasn't like an affirmation, but it was something I like had to remind myself of constantly. But now it just is.
Say more about that. Like, what did that look like? Reminding yourself constantly, like when it would be bad or trying to get it, like.
Yeah, when I was being mistreated or like something happened with my partner at the time that I didn't like, that I knew was not acceptable to me, but I don't know what was happening, why but I would just like I would stand up for myself a little bit and then have to like actively like I would get pushback from my partner and I would have to remind myself to like stand in my power. I am worthy of XYZ of like being spoken to kindly or like respectfully or like not having a temper tantrum at me all the time. Like, I am worthy of these things. These are baseline. Like, having to actively remind myself of those things. But it, you know, now it's different. Like, with a partner who is so amazing, I don't like, we don't really have those big dramas. So it's not like something I have to remind myself of. But there are other relationships that you and I have just recently talked about that, like, I have had to be like learning. Again, kind of how to own my worthiness.
Yeah. We haven't touched on this yet. I want to talk about how scripting played into manifesting this relationship because you started scripting an amazing relationship, like your future self, almost 5 years ago, right? And so tell us about the process of being asked to script like the most amazing relationship you can dream of, while in a relationship with somebody who maybe you don't even see is capable of that, or like that's ever a possibility. Like, walk us through that story.
I re when you first started telling me that that's what needed to happen, I pushed back hard and I refused. Like just straight up was like, I am not doing that, Cassie. You were wonderful about it, but like I did eventually come around to it when it felt good, and I did change because in the script I had his name, my ex's name in there, and you said to just make it a generic pronoun, or I think you were like, because we were both talking about Bridgerton a lot at the time, I think you're like, you can change it to the Duke if you want. So I think about that a lot. So anyway, I changed the pronouns to just like they, them kind of thing, like within the script. And that really made it like it really opened up some doors and like opened my mind to the possibility that there is better out there. And it did it in what might seem like kind of an indirect way, but I like through scripting an unidentified person, it was more palatable. It was easier for me to swallow and accept and move forward and make, because I think I changed the pronouns, and I think like 2 or 3 months later was out the door. So, yeah.
And that's 2 or 3 months later of doing like scripting that script 5 times a week, right? It's not just like, oh, I changed the pronouns in 3 days. Like, it you are continuously being in that space and getting that experience, being that person who has that ultimate partner, that best relationship.
I'm remembering now that I had a flash back then that the partner in the script was dark haired with a dark beard.
Oh, that's amazing. That is what you got now.
I know, which is funny because on the dating app, it was like, ooh, a dark beard. Oh, I hope you didn't hear that. No, I love it. It's fine. Nick, I love you.
That's amazing. Tell us what the title of this amazing love story is.
All of Her Dreams Coming True.
Yay!
Yeah.
For someone listening who wants a relationship like yours, tell them, like, in like as few words or in a wrap up, how to manifest a relationship.
Get good with yourself.
Yeah.
I mean, it's pretty cliche. Everybody says, learn how to love yourself or how can anyone else love you? But that mm-hmm. never resonated with me. So I was like, I like myself. I'm pretty cool. But get good with yourself.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So you did like yourself. Like, I don't think that's untrue. Like, I mm-hmm. bet you did like yourself.
Yeah.
What I'm guessing is you also, like, you liked yourself. It wasn't like mm-hmm. you were looking in the mirror, like, with disdain or any of mm-hmm. those things. I think sometimes we think that looks like. So you liked yourself, but you just didn't, like, but then you let someone else, like, not love you as much, right? Yeah. You, like, settled mm-hmm. for that.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. All right.
And settling for less than directly means that you do not like yourself as much as you think.
Yeah. Right. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Anytime you're settling for that. Yeah. Mm-hmm. I love it.
Yeah.
Anything else you want to say about how to manifest a relationship?
Like Cassie and Ginny have a bunch of really amazing episodes in the Manifest It Now podcast about manifesting a relationship, and listen to this episode and go join Enchanted Life U, because that genuinely is what revolutionized my life and helped me create my dream life.
Yay. I love it. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Come back next week as we're going to be talking about how to manifest a proposal.
The telling of stories is so powerful, both to the person telling it and the person receiving it. Since 30,000 BC, we as humans have told stories to teach and guide. And now we, with Manifesting Success Stories, hope to inspire you to what is possible in your own life. If you want more manifesting success, go to moremanifestingsuccess.com, where you'll find links to anything we've talked about on the show. Thank you for joining us today, and remember, you have the power to write your own happy ever after.